Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Well, welcome, Denise. We are so excited to have you tonight on our show and hear your journey. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate the invitation.
Well, I'm really excited. So where are you at now? Where do you live?
So I live in on the eastern shore of Maryland, which is about 40 minutes east of Washington, D.C., the nation's capital.
Okay. And you're staying safe? I know that that's like the crime center of the world almost.
Yeah. We live in a rural area, and I live on a 200-acre farm. We have a 200-acre farm, so it's pretty safe on our farm.
Oh, really? That's amazing. Yeah. So 200, what do you farm?
We raise grass-fed beef, and we also raise wool sheep. It's sort of a hobby of mine, but my son and daughters do the grass-fed beef. Yeah, so.
Oh,
that's amazing.
That's incredible.
We need that, right?
I know. We really do. Trust me. Yeah, we really do need that in this country.
Yeah, not that grain-fed junk, you know, with GMO and... Yeah, hormone treated and all these type of things. So wonderful. So tell me a little bit how did it all start for you? I mean, where does the story begin?
So the story for me begins in 2010. So my story is getting, is more probably mature than some, particularly some of the stories that I hear as an integrative health and wellness coach. From people who are combating Lyme. So mine was 2010, and it started in my little picket fence garden where I raise herbs and I grow flowers that I would sell at the farmer's market. So in my little picket fence garden, I thought I was safe from any type of harm. And so I just, flourished with my flowers and herbs, and I was never suspicious of ticks. And so until I started getting sick. And we actually live in the epicenter, one of the epicenters for Lyme disease, but still I felt like I was insulated here on our farm at that point in 2010.
Well, 200 acres, yeah, you would feel that would give you a little bit of a buffer zone around your little kind of garden area.
Absolutely. And of course, it was picket fence. So, at the time, I felt like, well, I was safe. I was away from the deer. But what I didn't realize at the time, other host mammals were sort of infiltrating with Lyme disease at the time. And I had these cute little rabbits in my garden, and I'm pretty certain that was the host that probably infected me with where I got the tick bite.
So were you a wellness coach at that time already, or did that something that became?
So that becoming a health and wellness coach sort of was born out of my experience with Lyme disease. And just living on the farm and living in the area and just always having an interest in natural living and growing our own food and eating seasonally, eating locally, the sort of a lifestyle of us, of my family. So that didn't happen. Becoming an integrative health and wellness coach did not happen until after I got healthy again, until my health was restored and I was able to maintain my health. And it was due to the integrative Lyme literate physician that I worked with. And so we collaborated on different articles that I wrote because I'm also a writer. That's really what I am. I'm a writer. Oh, and
I love to hear people's career paths change after they go through the Lyme journey because it truly is, it affects mind, body, soul, everything. And I mean, you know, that's what turned me into being such an advocate for Lyme, is because of my own long journey. So I love to hear that. So tell us, what were your first symptoms? How did your illness start out? How were you feeling?
So I am very active, obviously, on the farm, and I had a lot of responsibilities. I always exercised. I was a runner. I did triathlons. So when I started experiencing some fatigue, and when I started experiencing joint pain, I initially attributed it to, well, the years of running, the years of being a triathlete. And then the joints just didn't seem to be getting any better. And then when I started with brain fog, like I had this sense of overwhelm. I had a lot of young children. I have 6 kids. At the time, they were very small. And running a farm and writing, I found it difficult to get through the day. Whereas before, I could manage everything really well. My sense of balance was really well. And I was having trouble getting through the day, headaches. I suddenly started acquiring these migraines, and I was never prone to headaches before. And I remember going to visit our family doctor, and she was convinced that I was depressed, and she immediately wanted to prescribe an antidepressant. And I refused that because I knew that there was something physically wrong with me. So I encouraged her to please run a Lyme test at the time. And so she complied. And within a few weeks, it came back, and it was acute. And then things started to really progress. And I remember sitting on the side of my bed, willing, talking myself that I had to get out of bed and take care of my kids. I had to feed my kids. I had to clothe them, because at that point, all I wanted to do was get back in bed and pull the covers over my head.
Wow.
So, and then I knew I needed help.
Yeah. So you were, I guess, just familiar enough with Lyme disease, whereas a lot of people who get infected are not. Like myself, I didn't know what a tick was because I got the bullseye rash. And unfortunately, I had no idea what it meant. But that was, you know, my sign, go get help. And I didn't. So I like to hear that you knew. And maybe that's just based on where you live at, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. And we own, you know, on our farm, we have like 40 acres of woods. So it's not unusual for us to take a walk in the woods, and after we're finished, we sort of, you know, have to check ourselves for ticks. So yeah, so ticks are, it's a very familiar species where we live. And so I wasn't unfamiliar with it. I just was naive to think that I was insulated and
safe
protected
from it.
And right. I was safe. Exactly. Exactly. Because I hadn't gone in the woods recently. I was in my little garden. We had chickens that free range, and I was certain they were taking care of my tick population. But yeah, and so I was familiar. And at that point in 2000 or in 2010, I had heard people in the area being sick with Lyme disease. So I think I'd read at least one book. And so that increased my education a fraction of what would soon develop as far as like becoming familiar with Lyme disease and the protocols and things like that. Yeah.
So when you went to the doctor and asked for the Lyme test, were you already at the point where you're sitting on the bed wondering if you're going to be able to take care of your children, or did that happen after you knew of the diagnosis?
That happened before I went to the doctor, And at that point, I believe that really sort of initiated her suggestion that maybe I was suffering from depression and, you know, an overwhelm because, you know, I had young children, I was busy on the farm, I had other responsibilities, I was writing. And so I think she thought, well, maybe that's what I was suffering from. And I, but I, but what she didn't take into account were these other physical symptoms that I was manifesting, the brain fog and the joint pain, the headaches. It was, you know, in retrospect, they were very classic Lyme symptoms, and I did not have a bullseye. I never had the bullseye. So,
and that's actually common to not have the bullseye. I mean, it's actually pretty rare. So how, so she ran then, we'll suggest a plain Western blot, or what did she run?
She did. She ran a Western blot. It's funny because I always, whenever I do a discuss on a podcast or an Instagram live, I always go back and I like to revisit. I saved my original diagnosis and I like to revisit that. And so, yeah, she did the typical Western blot, and so it was startling enough that it came back positive. Now, when I went to see my Lyme literate physician, of course, she completely did a different, you know, she did the Western blot again, but she did other tests. So, and then when my family doctor delivered the news that I had acute Lyme disease, she offered doxycycline.
Okay.
Doxycycline. And so, and to her credit, she admitted that other than doxycycline, that is the only thing that I know what to do at this point. And this, that was kind of, this that was scary.
This was a Lyme literate or Lyme illiterate?
That was the Lyme illiterate, just okay. The typical biomedical, biomedical MD. And she simply admitted, and I appreciated, I really respected her for admitting, because then I knew, okay, the fight is on my hands. Mm-hmm. The fight for my health is in my hands right now. And so I knew that I had to take matters into my own hands.
Yeah, the worst that can happen is that when you go to a doctor and say, yes, I can fix you, and then they are ill-equipped to help you, and they don't admit it, they're not forthright, and then you spend all that time, money, and energy with somebody that is not skilled enough to address your situation.
Right. So I really appreciated her transparency.
Yes, absolutely. And probably saved you a lot of time and money.
So you, what happened as a next step then? So you recognized, you started probably with the doxycycline just to get going on something. And then while you were looking for somebody else, I would assume.
Right. And I had a little blip. I had a little obstacle, a little hurdle with the doxycycline, because within probably 24 hours or something, I was maybe less than that. I started to have an allergic reaction to the doxycycline. And see, I'd never taken doxycycline before. And so I found myself in the emergency room because of the allergic reaction to doxycycline. So then we knew that I could not take doxy because I was allergic to it. And at that point, I had sought out the recommendation of this Lyme literate physician. And she was an OBGYN in my area. And she would, what was happening, she was seeing these women who were demonstrating perimenopausal symptoms, but they were too young. And as she investigated, she realized that many of these women, these young women who were exhibiting perimenopausal symptoms, ended up having Lyme disease. And so she basically ended up turning her practice, her OBGYN practice, into a Lyme disease practice. And I sent her my blood test, and I was acute enough that she took me right away. And so then I slid right in, basically within a couple of days, from the emergency room into the hands and care of this wonderful Lyme literate MD who used to be an OBGYN.
Perfect.
Wow.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
It was perfect because she knew about women's health and hormones. And obviously my hormones were being affected by the Lyme. And so by the time I had my first visit with her, I was pretty sick. But we started the journey to restore my health. And that was the exciting part.
So when you say pretty sick, because it sounded like you were pretty sick to start with before you met the initial doctor, so it actually got worse from the brain fog and the fatigue and body pains.
Yeah, because then I started experiencing insomnia, depression, the brain fog got worse. I loss of appetite. So by the time I got there, I was ready to do something. I was ready for a protocol.
So what does a bad brain fog look like? I mean, how would you describe your brain fog at that time?
Well, I tell you, I felt like the word I like to use is this sense of overwhelm. It was like this dark cloud and I couldn't push through. And typically, if I'm overwhelmed, I'm a health and wellness coach. I make lists. I help people write goals and I set stages for people for success. I couldn't even complete a grocery list. And then my short-term memory, I would forget to call people back. And so my social life was affected by this because I couldn't follow through with even phone calls, because to me at that point, phone calls were secondary. I was having to just get through the day with feeding my family and making sure that my kids were taken care of. So just this sense of overwhelm just consistently followed me.
Mm-hmm. So you went then to this doctor. What happened then? I mean, what kind of evaluation did she do in order to be able to get a complete picture of what was going on?
So what she did was she did her own testing. She did a Western blot. She did two other Lyme tests, and so she sort of collected her own data, and then we sat down and she designed a protocol for me, and the protocol was integrative. And so she knew that I was allergic to doxycycline. So she had to format another type of antibiotic. And so she was integrative. So she did the antibiotic, but then she also collaborated that with a protocol that included detoxification. You know, she used herbs, she used essential oils, those types of things, and other, you know, she recommended body care manipulation, like chiropractic care, because at that point it was affecting my neck and my back, and so we had a very integrative approach at that point.
Wow, it sounds like she definitely knew that this was her great move from going to an OBGYN to a Lyme doctor. She sounds very, very knowledgeable about it.
Yeah. She definitely was very knowledgeable. And so once I got well, she knew that I was a writer. So we decided to collaborate and write articles about the value of using an integrative approach to, to combat Lyme disease.
So, and she went, so she looked at the Lyme and looked at co-infections, some of the co-infections, I would assume, as well. Did she look also at the hormonal picture as well, since that was one of her fortes, to see what areas that needed extra support?
She absolutely did. And that's a great question, because I want to say within 6 months that I was with her, that was very concerning for her. And she immediately had this amazing protocol and communication with my OB. And because at that point she wasn't practicing her own OBGYN practice. And so she communicated and she set up, I was just reviewing those notes again, and a comprehensive plan for when I gave birth. But anyway, unfortunately, I miscarried, and she was almost certain it was because of the Lyme disease. But she was very, very proactive in female hormonal health when it came to Lyme disease. Yeah.
Wonderful. And so what did her, she did detoxification, she did some herbs, and also you said integrative, so she did some different antibiotics as well then?
Yeah, and I was just looking because she actually had to piggyback antibiotics for me, and I was trying to go over my notes, and I can't find the two, but she actually kind of created this this double antibiotic, and I remember taking it, and I couldn't drive because it was killing off. At that point, she had done some tests, and it was in my neurological system. And I remember the irony of after being on the antibiotics that she prescribed, and I was actually healthy enough to go back into my garden to the very place where I got sick. And I remember I was planting a flower, and I stood up and I looked around, and I realized I'm getting better. And then that's what I tell people. It's amazing when you realize you're getting better, because then you look back and you realize how sick you really were. Mm-hmm. And I still had a long way to go. My journey was not over in any sense of the, you know, stretch of the imagination. Right. But I saw a glimpse of health at that point.
Right. And that's important to say, because when people deal with, you know, whether it be neurological issues or pain, when they're going through their journey, they oftentimes feel like there's not going to be an end. You know, there's not going to be a happy ending. True. At least. And so it's so important for listeners to know that you need to stop sometimes. You know, they say stop and smell the roses. Stop and reanalyze where you were a month ago, 6 months ago, last year, and acknowledge what you've overcome to this point, because that will give you that inspiration that you need and that little push to keep doing what you're doing to get even better than where you are now. So I'm glad that you planted that flower and realized you still had a long ways to go, but you had come a long ways too.
Yeah. It's so important to have those reinforcements. We recognize, yes, I'm on the right way, you know, so that you can continue fighting forward. Because I know a lot of Lyme patients, they just feel horrible for a couple of years, you know, while right. they're doing the therapy, and then they start to feel better. So, so they were doing that, the kind of double piggyback antibiotic, and how long of a course of that was she doing?
She did that for 21 days.
Okay.
And she taught me such a valuable lesson. And I use it with my clients. The valuable lesson she taught me was, she said, the very thing right now that you have control over, because you feel like you have no control over anything. You don't have control over your health. You don't have control of your body. But the one thing you do have control over is how you nourish your body. And she said, so while you're waiting to get better, one of the most valuable weapons you have is food. And so that's when I learned the impact of the anti-inflammatory or the Lyme eating protocol, a Lyme eating plan. And so to me, that was empowering, because it was something that I could actually do and I had control over.
And what did that diet look like?
Well, it looked like, there was no sugar, there was no refined or processed foods, no refined carbohydrates, mostly plants, heavily plant-based, grass-fed meat, lots of dark leafy greens. And so I do have a caveat here. Because I was on this anti-inflammatory eating plan, we eating organically, that was another thing, making sure that you don't intake a lot of toxins into your body unnecessarily. And so I remember being intrigued about, when can I have grain? Because we live on a farm. So I see, grain being grown in a very healthy way. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I started milling my own grain, even gluten-free grains. And she and I wrote about that because, oftentimes with anti-inflammatory, you do remove grain completely from your eating life. But when you actually, if you can incorporate freshly milled grain, then it's a real food. And so she and I sort of collaborated about that as well. And she said, you can have grain with a caveat that it is freshly milled, because then she looked at the science aspect of it, which I already knew from the farming aspect. And so, so basically that's what my eating plan looked like. And that's the same eating plan that I adhere to this very day. I still mill my own grain.
So what's the difference between freshly milled and just something that you would buy at the market?
That's a great question, because when we combine our grain here, and I'll use wheat, for example, commercially, we remove the most nutritious parts, okay? Because it has the bran, the endosperm, and there's a third part to the seed, to the berry, to the grain berry. And what we do is we strip that off industrially. And we do that because if we don't, it's going to go rancid. It's going to spoil. Just sort of like when you peel an apple, it starts to oxidize. It turns brown. Same thing happens to grain. So in order to ship our grain and in order for it to have a shelf life, you have to remove the real parts of the grain. And so what we have to do is we have to synthetically add the nutrients per FDA. And so there you have your enriched grain. And so that's what you see on your packages of bread, enriched wheat, enriched whole wheat. So it's been synthetically enriched.
So even organic, then, if you would buy organic grains, you know, it would be the same thing, correct?
Same thing. It's you're stripping the nutrients off. That's why if you bake your own bread, they tell you to add bran, because the bran is nutritious, but they've stripped it off. So you have to add it back in if you make homemade bread.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so you started on this journey. The power you had was in your food, and you did the 21 days of this protocol, and then what followed after that? And you did detox program, and what did the detox program look like?
So the detox program considered of like a parasite, zeolite. I was on zeolite. I was on cerelase interface. I was on, I have my protocol right here, berberpinella, NAC for the biofilms, serapeptase. So I had all of that, plus a host of herbal tinctures. She had me on parsley. Sam E, you know, various supplements throughout the whole protocol.
And did they kind of alternate these supplements, or did they kind of stay the same? And if they alternated, how did she determine when to alternate?
So with the NAC, I stayed on the NAC, and it was the cerelase and the interface that I would alternate. Those were the ones that I would alternate. Other than that, and the zeolite, I would stay on as well. And then I would do a liver detox, coffee enemas. She was very, very enthusiastic about coffee enemas. But her huge goal was the biotoxin pathway, to just sort of disrupt the biofilm and then pull it out. She was very adamant about that.
And
so I learned
important.
A lot about biotoxins from her. Yeah, yeah. And the importance of maintaining that protocol. Mm-hmm.
And so how long did your full protocol last? How long did you treat for?
I want to say she treated me for a year and a half, for about a year and a half.
Okay, where you did all the supplements and the detoxing and the coffee enemas. You did all of that for about a year and a half. And then did you just wake up one day and feel amazing? Or was it a slow, gradual, you could tell you were getting better, you know, each month, so say?
I would say it was a gradual, but it started to increase. You know, I started to feel better quicker. I was very almost dogmatic about my eating life. And so I think that helped. I think that helped. And yeah, to me, I feel like the food was revolutionary for me. And just understanding about stress management. She was big on stress management. She was big on sleep health. She was very big on making sure that if you took a nap, if you needed a nap, if your body needed to rest, it was important for you to do that. And as a mom of young children, that was like a foreign concept to me. But she really taught me how to respect sleep hygiene, you know. And then, of course, staying on the being very consistent, being consistent with the supplements and movement, not necessarily a lot of exercise in the beginning, but movement, doing what your body can do, and then, you know, adding on or increasing those types of things. So I would say, you know, every few months, I felt like I was getting better. It was just so great to have my mind back.
Right. Once you can start thinking clearly, right?
Yeah. I think my mind returned quicker than my body did.
Which is good, because we kind of need to know what we're doing and keep track of our daily life and your six children. And so, yeah, because brain fog, it's very, very challenging. So
and as a writer,
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, as a writer, it was very frustrating to have short-term memory loss and word-finding issues and not being able to complete sentences and participate in those types of conversations, because I always loved writing. It was my life. And then suddenly I felt handicapped.
Yeah.
So when I got my words back, I felt like, hey, I'm getting better.
Right, right.
I love it. So now do you feel completely well, or are you still struggling in some fashion?
Honestly, I feel completely well. Now, is it because I continue probably 60% of the protocol still? I'm not sure. But I would say I feel really well. And some days I'm like, well, is it my age? Because I'm well into midlife, but I really feel I have lots of energy. You know, I just feel, and I actually coasted through menopause, and I'm not sure if it's because some of the supplements that I stayed on helped me get through menopause. I don't know, but that's a pretty significant, fact to notice. And, but yeah, I feel almost 100%, I would say. And it's been like that for about, since 2019.
That's awesome.
Was my last
test.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
And, yeah.
And now you help people that are dealing with similar situations. With
exactly.
You know, that is wonderful. Yeah. Well.
So yeah, so then I went back to graduate school and got a degree in health and wellness coaching.
That's amazing.
That is. And we need people out there like you. So I appreciate what you do for the community.
So if there's one thing, yeah, before we finish, if there's one thing that you feel that this is something that I really would like people that are newly diagnosed, that, you know, I'd like them to know this. I wish I would have known this when my journey started. What would that be?
Well, it would be the power of food, because we forget that food nourishes and that food can heal, and when I learned that food is in my control, I would say that is so empowering, and that you can begin your healing process, you're restoring your health or maintaining your health with food, because obviously we have to eat multiple times throughout the day. Let's make it count. Let's make it a weapon to combat, you know, Lyme disease. And so I would say food. And for some people, that is easier said than done, because they have to alter their lifestyle, and they might need help getting some help in getting to that point. But I would say, to answer your question, food. Start with food.
I like that, definitely.
Yeah.
And some people really do find that challenging. And I hear so many times, well, how long do I have to eat like this for? But then at the end of their journey, you hear a lot of times that they continued their eating pattern because mm-hmm. what makes them feel good, why would you stop such a thing? So I like that answer. That's great advice out there.
Yeah. And it's been echoed with so many other people that we've interviewed. Food has become such a major factor for people to stay well and get well. So, yeah, that's wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah, because once you combat the inflammation, you know, that you can really make progress.
Absolutely.
And I feel like with an anti-inflammatory eating plan, you know, your journey, you're going to still have a journey. It's not going to be easy, but you can push through. You can make strides instead of smaller steps.
Yeah. Exactly. Well said. Yes. Well, Denise, thank you again so much for joining us and sharing your story. And I love to hear how your passion just turned into helping others. That's amazing to hear.
Thank you. It was a pleasure speaking with you guys tonight. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you so much. It was truly a pleasure.
Take care.
Thanks. The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.